With 6 months to go before the November elections, political parties and candidates are not the only ones hard at work. Special interest groups are counting down to Election Day, too. These groups used to operate behind the scenes, but in recent elections, many of them have begun to use expensive, high-profile efforts to influence voters. This year, NPR's Peter Overby is following a handful of interest groups to examine their new role. His reports begin today with a look at how groups pick the candidates they'll support.
One of the rituals of running for Congress is a trip to Washington. Politicians know it as making the rounds. Last month, Republican businessman Sean Mahoney entered a congressional primary in New Hampshire. Then he made the rounds, 3 days talking to Washington interest groups. Mahoney went to the Club for Growth on day two. The club is tucked into the corner of a D.C. law office. It has about 5,000 members, Reagan-style conservatives who believe in smaller government and lower taxes. A meeting like this lies somewhere between a job interview and a first date. Mahoney is hoping for a relationship, one that will lead to an endorsement, campaign cash, perhaps even independent TV ads on his behalf. The Club for Growth's executive director, David Keating, wants to know if Mahoney is right on their issues and if he's electable. Keating dressed up for the meeting. He put on a tie. He starts off with an easy question.
So why don't you tell me a little bit about why you decided to run for Congress? I mean, why would some successful person like you decide to quit a good job and then work here in Washington of all places?
Mahoney is a successful entrepreneur, and he says he's running because it's time to give something back. He says his top priority is abolishing the capital gains tax. That's at the top of the club's wish list, too. Mahoney and Keating discuss strategy, which consultants Mahoney has hired, especially how much money he's raised. $90,000 so far, he says.
Which doesn't sound like a lot, but at this stage of the campaign, it's a good start. It's twice as much raised than any other Republican.
You're not counting yourself as a contributor, right?
No.
With that, okay.
No, not with that. We have
these candidates, they come in here and say, wow, you know, my campaign's already raised $300,000, and, you know, they've written a check for $50,000, and the other $50,000 is from their friends or something.
Later, back in New Hampshire, Mahoney says he thinks the meeting went well.
It's always a challenge to try to connect personally in such a condensed period of time, but I think the connection that we have was ideological, and if you are on the same ideological sheet of music with someone, I think there's an almost immediate personal connection in some ways.
For his part, Keating isn't ready to commit. This is just one step of the screening process. The club is checking out another candidate in the race. But Mahoney has raised more money. This far from Election Day, money is the yardstick. Betsy Loyless is political director of the 40,000-member League of Conservation Voters. Their big issue is protecting the environment. She's also been busy screening candidates.
By this stage, if a candidate has not raised more than $100,000, then it's highly unlikely that that candidate has a particularly good shot at winning. Quite often people believe that you should have raised $100,000 by March.
When the league and the club throw their support to candidates, they make sure the candidates know it. Besides running TV ads, they both bundle contributions. For instance, if the Club for Growth did endorse Mahoney, its members would write checks to him but send them to the club. The club would forward the checks, Mahoney would get the cash, the club would get the credit. This can backfire if a group chooses a candidate who proceeds to self-destruct later in the race. So interest groups run their own polls and do their own legwork. The League of Conservation Voters gets intelligence from a network of environmentalists. The Club for Growth sends a consultant to nose around in districts it's looking at. The club's David Keating explains what's at stake.
To give an example, I mean, in the past, we have found reports of candidates who have had affairs and such, and it wasn't public. It wasn't in any of the newspapers yet. And we hope not to get into that situation where we've made a recommendation, and then some bombshell like that comes out, because our members would have donated a lot of money, perhaps, to that candidate. And once the money's been donated, you can't ask for a refund.
The bundling concept was pioneered by Emily's List, a pro-abortion rights group in the 1980s. Other organizations copied the idea. Next year, bundling could really take off. The new campaign finance law is due to take effect, restricting other interest group activities, but not bundling. For groups that already know how to do it, like the Club for Growth and League of Conservation Voters, that could bring even more candidates coming around and asking for interviews. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.